Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. Well, good evening and welcome to The Gift of Grace. This is Stephen Garchar, and I'm here with my good friend Phil Gigliotti. And we're here for another program of The Gift of Grace. Last week, you may recall that we were talking about Romans, as Paul was addressing Romans in chapters 3 and 4, and we're going to get into chapter 5, and, well, here's Phil.
Oh, where did I come from?
Where did you come from?
I thought I was raptured, but now I'm back.
I thought you were raptured, too. I'm glad that you're not raptured.
Yeah. Anyway, before we go to 5, I wanted to just say a couple of things about 4. Anyway, I can't believe a whole week has gone by.
Yeah.
And we left off at, I don't know how far into chapter, I think about the end of chapter 4, weren't we?
We were close.
Pretty close.
We were close to it.
And we were talking about how the promise was by faith and not by merit, and it's not a debt, and God gets the glory. And as I remember, that's how we kind of left it. So the promise can be for everyone, not just the Jews,
exactly,
but Gentiles too. So Gentiles can come because the promise was for everyone. And then the Gentiles become the spiritual children of Abraham, mm-hmm, which was a very radical concept.
Very radical.
All around. And, you know, it kind of fulfills, you know, it fulfills the promise God made to Abraham about nations and communities of the earth being blessed through him.
Mm-hmm.
But it even fulfills the prophecy that God made to him about how he would be the father of many nations.
Right.
Because now, not only is he father of the Jews and the Arabs, physically their father,
right,
but now he's spiritually our father.
Exactly.
Too, because of faith. He trusted in God. We trust in God. He believed the promises. We believe the promises. I mean, when you think about it, even this idea of, you know, God says to him, you're going to have descendants. And he's like, oh, wait a minute. I'm old.
Yeah.
Sarah's old. You know, in Hebrews, it says they were as good as dead. And then it's like, you know, how many children are we going to have? You know, it's
right,
like, I've been on Social Security quite a while already. And, this is, looking pretty bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, but because he believed, it was counted as righteousness and the promises to him were fulfilled.
Exactly.
And so that passes down to us as well. And so he becomes the father of many more nations than he would have imagined, that he could have imagined.
Yeah. You know, in chapter 4, I'm going to go from verse 16. For this reason, it depends on faith, so that it may be a gift, and the promise may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not to those who only adhere to the law, but to those who follow the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into being what does not exist.
Mm.
He believed, hoping against hope, that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, thus shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body as dead and the dead womb of Sarah. He did not doubt God's promise in unbelief. Rather, he was empowered by faith and gave glory to God and was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to do. This is why it is credited to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not for him alone that it was written that it was credited to him. It was also for us to whom it will be credited who believe in the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over for our transgressions and was raised for our justification.
Mm.
And that, you know, that's exactly what you're talking about, that Sarah and Abraham were old.
All but dead.
Yeah. All but.
That's not very nice to say.
Yeah, it's not very nice. They might have a word with you when you get up to the kingdom there, buddy.
Boy, yeah, when they went to the senior center, they said, boy, could you believe what this guy wrote about
Abraham's going to go, hey, I was only 90, okay?
Yeah, and it's interesting. And we talked about when you had a covenant that was only law, it wasn't a sure covenant because the covenant was based on how well you were going to perform. Mm-hmm. But when it's based on grace, it's God's glory that's being manifested. It's a sure covenant. Mm-hmm. When you put yourself at the mercy of God through Christ, you got a sure thing.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about what you're going to do next.
And you know, if you look at our culture, everything's really much performance driven.
Yes.
We got to do this to earn this. We got to do that to earn that. And in that, you know, the gospel is still contrary. Mm-hmm. To our culture, very contrary
sure,
to our culture
absolutely.
In those regards. So it's something that goes against the grain of our culture, the grain of the world.
Sure.
But it's the message of salvation that saves,
yes.
you know, those who are
mm-hmm.
coming to faith.
Yeah. And that's why later on in the book of Hebrews, the writer writes that Christ is the author and finisher of our faith.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're with him and he takes up all things into himself, including us, We're in a great position.
Yeah.
Compared to somebody who's out there floundering around trying to keep 613 laws.
Yes.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
Because, of course, in the book of Leviticus, it says if you violate one, it's the same as violating them all.
Right.
And that's not a very comfortable position to be in.
And I think, you and I have both talked to many people where sometimes you get in a conversation where someone's saying, is it really that easy? Is this all there is to it?
Exactly.
You just have to believe, and by faith, you're going to get all this? Well,
exactly.
What do I have to do?
Yes.
You just believe. And, you know, that's why I brought up the fact that our culture and our world, you know, there's so much that is merited by works.
Mm-hmm.
That
sure.
We can be really, it's hard to convince somebody or even get them to believe sometimes that, that's all there. That's
sure.
It's that easy.
Well, that's our normal life.
Yeah.
We go to work, we earn a living, and everything we do is about earning.
Yes.
You know, you have a retirement plan, you save money, you earn a salary, everything is based on what you're doing.
Be independent,
right.
Self-supportive.
Right.
I gotta make this happen for myself.
Yes.
And in the ways of the world.
Yes.
That might be true.
Right.
But in the ways of the kingdom.
Sure.
Quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite. I can't tell you, and I'm sure you've had this experience too, I can't tell you how many people say to me, well, it can't be that easy.
Yeah.
It can't be. I mean, what about all the things? What about all the things you have to do? What about all the things you have to learn? What about, it can't be that.
And then I say, have you read the book of Romans?
Have you listened to the radio show? But, you know, it's interesting because in that last scripture that you read, Paul points out it wasn't for Abraham alone.
Yes.
I mean, you know, if it was for just that one guy, I mean, nice for him, but what about everybody else?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't for him alone. And, you know, the whole scripture is not just about Abraham.
Right.
It's about everybody in the plan of salvation, you know, and then the Gentiles being included by the work of Christ.
Yes.
Who gets... You know, it's a, you know, as you said, he gets delivered up for our offenses, you know, and he's raised as our justification. Is so everything there applies to us because this is a sacrifice that has infinite value, infinite power. We can't even put words into it. We can't
right.
describe it in normal language.
Right.
And it's an inexhaustible grace. You know, you can't say that the sacrifice of Christ was good for the first, you know, so many years, so many sinners, and covered this many sins,
right.
and then now I don't know.
Right.
It's infinite. It's an infinite fountain of grace that goes on through the whole ages.
Yeah, it's not an infomercial where the first 1,000 callers
right.
get this free gift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, he points out, too, what he's basically saying there in that, toward the end of what you just read a while ago was the resurrection is, you know, kind of the ultimate sign of this.
Mm-hmm.
It shows you that the work was done and now the new covenant is in place. because there can't be a more powerful sign or more powerful wonder than Messiah's raise from the dead in his physical body.
Yeah.
And like Paul writes, you know, later, if there's no resurrection, then we're still in our sins.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, you put your hope in a dead Messiah. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know where you are.
Right.
But because of the resurrection, that's the sign of it, that what he did was truly the work of salvation. And far from being for Abraham alone, or far from being for the Jews alone, it's for all of us.
Exactly.
Every king, every tribe, every nation, every tongue. Nation.
Yeah. And it is just such an awesome gift that God bestows upon us. And as we've talked many times, and we go back to this a lot, but as this is happening, in the communities where this is happening, you have Jewish people who are believing that Jesus is the Messiah. Mm-hmm. You also have Jewish people that aren't believing that Jesus mm-hmm. is the Messiah. But to those who are believing that Jesus is the Messiah, they're seeing this gift of God's Holy Spirit poured out upon the Gentiles who were once considered unclean, mm-hmm. uncircumcised. Mm-hmm. And as you relate to a lot, that, you know, this was just radically different, and it was just so transforming that they, and you can see it in the writings, they struggle with it.
Yes.
They take things into prayer. They have to consider, okay, what is taking place here? And as we talked about last week, where Paul is saying that Abraham was, you know, uncircumcised mm-hmm. when he received righteousness, mm-hmm. that he's the father of the uncircumcised and the circumcised.
Right.
You know, so it's God's mercy and grace enfolds all the people mm-hmm. that he wants to, you know, that he wants to save, mm-hmm. you know. And I think it's God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life, mm-hmm. you know. So it's not just, well, I'm going to do this just for a couple people and mm-hmm. the rest of you, well, sorry, but you know, it's,
yeah.
you know, we referred to the wedding feast last week in Matthew 22. Go out and call, invite these people into the wedding feast. Mm-hmm. You know, the parable of the laborers mm-hmm. in the vineyard, it's 3 o'clock.
That's
it's
right.
5 o'clock.
That's right.
Go out and get workers to bring in more harvest of more souls.
That wouldn't go over very big in our culture. Say, well, wait a minute. I've been here since 7 o'clock work, and this guy's only worked an hour.
I think there might be some labor negotiations that might take place with that, but it all depends on if it's,
Well, as you put it, the kingdom has a different economy.
Thank God for that. And, you know, God is generous with, at the end of that parable of the workers in the vineyard, am I not free to do what I want with my own money? Are you jealous because I'm generous?
Mm-hmm.
And we can never outdo God in generosity.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Yeah.
Because God's grace and God's mercy is so abundant. And as you were saying, it's eternal. It's inexhaustible.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's being poured out today just like it was 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And if there's people here 2,000 years from now, it'll still be being poured out.
And if we have, let's say, okay, well, how do we know that? How can that be? Mm. Well, if God revealed himself to us through the prophets, through scripture, and we believe that God is eternal,
mm-hmm.
God is omnipotent,
mm-hmm.
God is all knowing and has ever been, he's infinite.
Yeah.
How can you exhaust something that's infinite?
Yeah.
You can't.
And we talk about the prefigurements in the Torah, the shadows and the types. You know, when you went to sacrifice the animal, that sacrifice was for that limited amount of time.
Right.
Then the next day or 2 days or week or whatever, you had to come up with another animal.
Yeah.
Because those sacrifices were for short periods of time. Mm-hmm. This is a sacrifice that goes on. This is the sacrifice once for all.
Eternal, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like we commonly use the example, Hitler could have been saved had he repented.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, there's no way that can, how can, you know, he was the, But no matter what anybody's done, there's grace to cover that. You know, where later in Romans, Paul's going to say where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Yeah.
Because the blood of Christ is an infinite sacrifice. It has infinite value and infinite power.
Yeah.
It can't be contained.
And that is something that is in our culture, and not just in our culture, but throughout the ages, that is something that is, I think, hard for people to comprehend and understand, that how can something, you know, that's a tragedy happen or horrific, and yet God's mercy can save that person, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But if we look at it in the eyes of, from the eyes of just that, if you, you know, if we go back to the law, if you broke one law, you broke them all.
Yes.
So who can be saved?
Right.
No one.
Yes.
You know, so it doesn't matter if I don't think that I am a sinner, you know, if I think that way, then I'm really lost anyway. Because I used to justify a lot of the things that I did.
Well,
not
sure.
Really. I think we all do that.
Yeah.
And you come to realize that it's not really not. That's really not how it is. It's, you know, I'm looking through tainted lenses of my own justification of what I'm doing. And there's no one that can be justified by keeping all of the law, because no one does
no
it.
No one can.
Right. No one does it.
And aren't we good at finding how our friend or the guy sitting next to us, how he's violating the law? But we think we're doing a pretty good job. But boy, what that guy's doing.
Well, makes me look better.
Oh, man, I compared to that guy, I'm in good shape.
I'm in really good shape.
Because, you know, like Jesus said, you know, you see the speck in your brother's eye, you don't see the plank in your own eye.
Right.
And the Greek word there is like the main beam that holds a house up.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weight-bearing beam.
Yeah.
So you're looking at some little speck of sawdust in that guy's eye over there. And you got like this beam sticking out of your eye, and you go, whoa, man, I'm in much better shape than that guy. And, you know, he teaches it in such a way that when people heard that, they probably said, boy, yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. And it's, you know, it's like the guy who's praying, thank you, Lord, for not making me like that guy over there.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus came to reconcile those, you know, he came to make a way and reconcile us to the Father where there wasn't a way.
Amen.
And to preach the message of salvation, to preach a message of reconciliation and forgiveness that still carries on today, because those words are eternal.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the plan unfolds, and it starts with this guy, Abraham. and because of his faith, here we are. And, you know, Abraham probably wouldn't have had much of a concept about, you know, what was going to be happening in the 21st century, that people would still be talking about him.
Yeah.
But here we are, still talking about him. And we're not just walking around like Paul talking about him. We can do it on a radio. We can do it on the internet. We can do it with television. We can do it with emails. I mean, we have different ways of doing it, and we're still talking about the same concepts.
Yeah.
Which is really quite remarkable.
And, you know, you bring up an interesting point, is that we have all these mediums to do it in now.
Yeah.
All these channels to do it in, you know. And back
then,
like
the Gift of Grace Ministries webpage.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is a good page.
Giftofgraceministries.org.
Yes. Plenty of radio shows and archives there for you to go back and listen to. But you also have in the day of Jesus that there was only the word of mouth, or if you had a writing utensil and some parchment.
Yeah.
You can write down your thoughts and send it out.
Yeah.
So, you know, the method of communication was vastly different, than it is today. We still, you know, the proclaiming the gospel by mouth was the way that it was preached.
Yes. Because later on in Romans, he's going to say hearing comes from, you know, faith comes from hearing, hearing comes from the word of God. And exactly right. And
they weren't out there handing out. They didn't have tracts back then, did they?
No.
No printing presses or anything like that.
No, they would have had like these big scrolls.
Little stone tablets.
It was pretty hard to put something out for like a large number of people to read.
Yeah. That's.
And it was hard to scan a piece of stone and email it to anybody.
Extremely difficult. Tough on the machinery, because once that stone went through, it's just kind of scratch the glass and all that stuff.
Oh, boy. Now we're really getting out of hand. But anyway, we're going to be coming up on a break, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about Abraham. So we're going to listen to a great song by Paul Wilbur. Remember, Facebook, Gift of Grace on Facebook, and giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. Well, that was an awesome song.
Were all those applause for us?
Yes.
Oh.
No, actually, they were for Paul. That's an awesome song.
That is an awesome song. For the Lord has taken all of your punishment and destroyed your enemies.
Yes. That comes from Zephaniah.
Mm-hmm.
Not a real well-known prophet, but wow.
Nonetheless, very important.
You must, that must be one of those things where if you're a very educated, ultra-Orthodox rabbi who really knows the scripture and you read a verse like the Lord has taken your punishment, it has to make you stop and wonder what that means.
Yeah.
We know what it means, but it makes you wonder what that means.
Yeah.
And it all goes back to their father, Abraham, who's now my father, Abraham, and your father, Abraham. That reminds me of a song. Father.
Yeah.
You could sing it. Anyway. So, anyway, back to Romans. And the Romans eventually became spiritual children of Abraham, too.
Yes.
Even after Paul was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we're being silly now. Stephen, why don't you read chapter 5, 1 and 2?
Okay. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in hope of the glory of God.
Wow. That's awesome. So, yeah. You know, the therefore is interesting, too. This starts a new chapter. You know, the chapter breaks, of course, are not always good. They're kind of artificial. But, you know, the word therefore, of course, means, so after what I just said, now here comes this.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on what I just said. Therefore. Since we've been justified by faith, he went through this whole thing about how we're justified by faith and not by law. Right. That it's not a debt. It's not a wage. It's a free gift, and it's to God's glory. So therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the access by faith to this grace. So this is pretty cool, because now we have benefits and we have privileges. We have peace with God. So, you know, one of the first things is we have peace with God. Now, did we have peace with God before that? No.
No.
We had enmity with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God said to the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman. Enmity is a break. It's a big barrier. It's a separation.
Right.
So when you have peace with God, that enmity is broken. The sin problem is now solved, because now, as an unworthy sinner, I can approach a holy God because this grace has been given to me. I'm justified by it. And that barrier has been broken down. It's been taken away.
Yeah.
And even the guilt I have, I can still come.
Yeah.
Even when I realize what I've been and I feel guilty, the grace even takes that away.
Exactly.
He died for all of that, even the guilt, it says in the scripture. And it's by faith. So now, instead of this enmity, there's this intimate friendship. There's this intimacy that develops again. It's like Adam and Eve had intimacy with God in the garden. We now have intimacy again because the relationship has been restored.
Exactly.
You know, in the book of James, he calls Abraham, he says Abraham was called friend of God.
Yeah.
That's James 2:23. Jesus himself called his disciples friends in John 15. You know, it's like this thing of, well, there's not enmity now, we're friends. You know, to be a friend of God, to be a friend, you know, it's not, when you're a sinner, you're an outcast, you're not a friend. So now you've gone from being an outcast to being a friend.
Right.
And you're there having fellowship in an infinite way. There's a restoration that's taken place. And, you know, he says that we have peace with God through what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by grace.
Yeah.
And the access to this is through faith. You know, we're kind of brought into the grace. We didn't have it before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Greek word there actually means, this is an introduction. We're being led into it. You know, we're like taken into the grace. It's not something that we, you know, were really looking for or didn't realize before, but now we have access to this because of faith, and we're kind of introduced into this whole ocean of grace because we're dependent on him and not on our merits.
And he says, and we boast in hope of the glory of God.
Yes.
So it's all about boasting in God.
Amen. And not about boasting about our own merits.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked here many times about that. And Paul's always talking about it. There's no boasting, there's no boasting, there's no boasting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the gospel's the power of God, so there's no boasting. You know, I want to preach Christ and Christ crucified, so there's no boasting.
Right.
If I use eloquent language, I take meaning away from the cross.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about that. And, you know, as Christians, and it doesn't matter whether you're a Gentile believer, a Jewish believer, it doesn't matter where you're from, the center of salvation is the cross.
Amen.
And it's grace and it's faith, and it's not by law. So he says we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we stand justified, we don't stand condemned. You know, earlier we were condemned.
Exactly.
Now we stand justified, and we're not treated like criminals anymore.
Mm-hmm.
God has the right as God to treat us as a criminal.
To give us the due, you know, really to give
what
us
we
the
deserve.
Due
yes.
Punishment of what we
deserve. He can do that. But, you know, now as believers and as people who want to follow, and we don't stand condemned, we stand justified. We have dignity, we have honor that we don't deserve. And it's this glory of this unlimited grace that's poured out, and we rejoice in that hope. Because if we don't take advantage of that, you know, in the second chapter of Hebrews, it says, if we reject such a salvation, where are we going to go? You know, if you say, well, I don't want to do all that cross and blood stuff. I don't really get into this Jesus thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to jump back into the law and say, okay, well, let's see what I can do with this?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's Paul's whole point here is that this justification, this breaking down of the enmity, the breaking down of the barrier, the access that we have by faith and grace, now we can rejoice in that hope because we have a sure thing. We have a sure covenant.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, I know we're going to get to, you know, verse 3, 4, and 5 here in a moment, but he's coming to the point of what Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, that the Messiah first must suffer and then be raised in glory.
Yes.
And in verse 3, Paul says, not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions. And this is really contrary to the ways of the world.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Yeah. And
why don't you read the rest of that about perseverance?
So this is chapter 5, verse 3.
Yeah.
Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us for Christ, while we were still helpless, yet died at the appointed time for the ungodly. And indeed, only with difficulty does one die for a just person, though perhaps for a good person one might even find courage to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So now we can even glory in our tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
We can stand what's going on. We can deal with what's going on. You know, in the book of Acts, if you remember when Peter and John were brought to the Sanhedrin, and they got a good talking to, when they were leaving, it said that they rejoiced that they were worthy to suffer for the name.
Yeah, they got a little bit more than just a talking.
Yeah. So here's these guys, you know, normally if you get called before some authorities, like you get called before a court of law.
Right.
Or you get called before some authority who says, listen, you did wrong. You really messed this up. We don't ever want to hear this again. You don't say, whoa, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, you walk out of there going, oh, man, this is bad.
But they
were rejoicing.
They're rejoicing because they are receiving afflictions because they are proclaiming the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's an act. And it helps to build perseverance. It says it helps to build character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes you a stronger believer.
Right.
It makes you a stronger witness. Because when you're having some kind of a problem and people around you say, wow, how can he be still talking about God when his whole life is a mess? You know, to me, it looks like his life is a mess, but he's still talking about God.
Yeah.
It, you know, it makes you a much more powerful witness. It builds your character, and it's a hope that doesn't disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we, that's why it's called our hope. I mean, if we weren't sure about this, then we'd say, well, I'm pretty sure this is right. I hope this faith and grace thing is true because, boy, because if it isn't, I'm going to be in big trouble at the end. You know, it's kind of like, I wonder if I've got enough points to get in.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the good news of Christianity.
No, not at all.
This is a hope that doesn't disappoint. And, you know, it's you know, Paul talks about how we can deal with what's going on. And then he says that this is shown to us by the Spirit.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Because, you know, you become a believer, the Spirit indwells in you. He shows us the love of God. And, you know, the Spirit's poured into our hearts. You know, but later on he's going to say, The Spirit tells our spirit to yell out, Abba.
Yeah, call him Daddy.
Yeah, and of course, you know, God is Trinity, and everything he does is Trinitarian, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's not like each personality, each person in the Trinity has a separate kind of a, does his own thing kind of thing. Yeah. They all work together, of course. So now the Spirit pours this out, you know, and he shows you this grace, and he shows you that this salvation comes from the cross, mm-hmm. and he shows you that the hope that you have.
Yeah.
So it's a constant encouragement,
mm-hmm.
and you're not going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a pouring out, you know, the Spirit's always shown as water, oil, fire, you know, it's always like the Spirit is always poured out on people
mm-hmm.
in unlimited ways.
Yeah. A ruach, the wind that, you know, the Spirit moves, but you don't know where it's, you know,
yeah.
the wind blows, but you don't know where it's coming from. Yeah, kind of, it reminds me of, I was having a conversation with a person last week, and we were talking a little bit about ministry, and we were talking about, some music ministry, but also other aspects of ministry, and that, you know, sometimes God doesn't, as we're planning and preparing for something, God may give us some of what we're supposed to do, but maybe not all of what we're supposed to do. And then sometimes you're praying about something and you really don't get a sense of, you know, Lord, what do you want us to do here? You know, and I was telling her that, you know, there's sometimes where like music ministry, I can pray about it. And there's sometimes where I don't get a sense of what I'm supposed to do until I'm actually getting ready to start strumming the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes. you know, the first time that happened, it was very unnerving because it really caused me to trust. And there's these things that we can go through that God will take us through that really brings us to a greater trust
mm-hmm.
of him.
Right.
Because it's all about him.
Right. Exactly.
And it brings us to that place of knowing that we're trusting in God. And if we can call him Daddy, you know, he's not too busy.
That makes a big difference.
It makes a big difference. It's not like he's up there and, oh gosh, I don't want to really bother him right now. I think he's probably got a lot of things to do, but he meets all of our needs.
Amen.
And we can go to him whenever we need help.
Wow.
All the time. Yeah. And he's going to answer us.
Yes. He's always going to listen.
He's always going to listen. Answer. Always going to answer.
That's a good way.
Yeah.
And you know, many people involved in ministry, you know, the first thing they want to do is have a series of meetings about how something's going to be done.
Yes.
And then
be organized.
Yeah. Be organized. And then have a whole bunch of other meetings about what other things they're going to do and mm-hmm. when's the next meeting going to be. And, you know, it being open and docile to the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
I think is much more productive, much more useful to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, having a lot of meetings and having, you know, one or two people that do all the talking and do all the planning, things aren't going to work out as well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, God certainly prepares us for what he's calling us to do.
Sure.
But you know, that's over a course of time. But if the Lord's calling you to walk out into the vineyard and go harvest a soul,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, Lord, wait a minute. I'm not ready yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really have to stop and think of what you're saying.
Yeah.
In what God is really asking of you to do. It's more important that you go out there and harvest that soul, imperfect as you may be.
Yes.
Than to think that it's about where I'm at.
Yes.
Because God can take anybody at any point in time, a brand new believer, because mm-hmm. that brand new believer is going to witness to the zeal of, this is what Jesus did for me. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead and he loves me.
Yes.
And that profession of faith can do more sometimes than, you know, as Paul says, I don't come here with a long, elegant speech.
Right.
It's the power of Christ in him crucified.
That's right. And once you understand that, once you realize that, you want to tell everybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to go to a meeting to discuss how I'm going to go talk to that guy. I just want to go talk to that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is, you know, the rest of that that you read is just amazing. You know, he says, we're all without strength. And in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all without strength.
Yeah.
You know, he says, we're all weak.
And it's in our weakness that God's glorified.
And with this weakness we have, we can't help ourselves out of the condition that we're in,
mm-hmm.
because we're too weak. We can't do the things we have to do. I hear shofars.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Whew. Well, break already. I can't believe it. Second break already. I can't believe it. Well, let's listen to a little Paul Wilbur music. This is The Gift of Grace. And remember, Facebook, The Gift of Grace. Search for us. Leave us some comments. And giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a short time.
We will be right back with The Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word. Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Phil Chiliotti and Stephen Garchar. And before the break, Stephen had just read this awesome passage from Romans 5 about how Jesus died, while we were still in our sins. We were without strength, and he died for the ungodly. And we were talking about how we're in such a weak condition that we can't help ourselves. We can't get out of this condition. And it says in due time, he comes to provide the solution. When, you know, due time means it had to be that particular time. It wasn't 100 years before or 500 years later. It was the due time, the time that was set by God, even before anything was created, because it says the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, in due time. And so, again, as we've been saying, he gets the glory. He set the plan in motion. He set the time. Jesus did the work.
Right.
He gets the glory at the time that was appointed. Just like it says, you know, at the appointed time, he was born. And, you know, everything is an appointed time. And he died for the ungodly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just that we were weak, that we were, you know, just kind of floundering around. And we weren't just helpless, but we were sinful creatures. You know, we were ungodly. I mean, that's a very difficult word. You know, we're sinful creatures. We deserved punishment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've broken the law. We've transgressed the law. We deserve punishment. You know, according to the law, we should have been punished. We should have been destroyed. And, you know, this is a situation where we can't get ourselves out of. So we needed one, and that's one with a capital O, that's going to make satisfaction for our guilt and give us righteousness, because we can't do it ourselves. So here we have a situation where the innocent is dying for the guilty. You know, the wrath that is supposed to be poured out on us as sinful creatures who are transgressing the law is poured out on the innocent one. And we talked about the cup of wrath. It's poured out on Jesus, who's the innocent one, so that it's not poured out on us.
Yes.
And it's the way out of our condition. And, you know, so he dies for people that were neither righteous or good.
Exactly. I mean,
ungodly people, sinful people. And this is the most amazing example. Like we were talking about before, in 2,000 years of time that's gone by since then, this example of God's love is still amazingly being poured out on anybody who wants to repent. You know, we were still sinners when the change came. You know, we went from law to grace, not because of anything the people that were alive then did. They were still sinners.
Yes.
But now, you know, we didn't have to go someplace and perfect ourselves first. We didn't go take a self-help course and then come back and say, okay, let's try this again. You know, he destroyed this enmity.
Yeah.
At the due time.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets the glory. It wasn't about us. All we deserved was punishment and wrath.
Whew. Yeah, you know, you're talking about how none of us are righteous. Yeah, but when Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and he says, you know, you've even broken the commandment about honoring your mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not even keeping the commandments.
That's right.
And
they were finding loopholes around things.
Right. Oh. You know, And so that's what Paul's pointing out here, is that there's nobody. And it's only through God's grace that we are set free, mm-hmm. from the punishment of, you know, what's rightly due to us from our transgressions against the law.
Amen. Well, we just have a few minutes left. Steve, why don't you read 9 through 11? This is good stuff.
Sure. But God proves his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we are now justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath? Indeed, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, once reconciled, will we be saved by his life? Not only that, but we also boast of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation.
Ooh, that's awesome. This is the basis of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get what we deserve. We're no longer enemies.
Yeah.
We're reconciled. The enmity is gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Hebrews 9:22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. In Leviticus 17:22, it says, life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So blood makes atonement for the soul.
Yes.
Blood has to be shed because sin is a horrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
So his blood is shed. The wrath is poured out on him instead of on us.
Right.
And that's our eternal hope. Salvation comes and we don't have to worry about the wrath being poured out on us.
Exactly.
This is the gift of grace, the perfection of grace. And that's really good news.
It's awesome news.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's if you think about that, you'll end up thinking about it 20 times a day because nothing else really matters.
Right.
In the long run of your life, there's nothing more important than that. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, I love the song Amazing Love because mm-hmm. it just says, like, how could this be?
Yeah.
You could be, because we can't conceive of it. Because exactly. We have a hard time loving somebody who just does one little thing that we don't like.
Yeah.
Let alone all of this stuff.
Right.
And it's just really quite amazing. And, you know, we receive this reconciliation. And then in the book of Hebrews, it says that even when Jesus goes back into heaven, he's still working for us.
Yeah.
He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession.
Still interceding for us.
Yeah. He's the advocate before the Father. You know, he did a work on earth. He's doing a work in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So we got nothing to worry about.
Amen, brother.
And that is way cooler than trying to follow 613 laws.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, and that really summarizes the good news of Christianity.
Yeah, it really does.
I mean, we could do like a whole nother few hours on this.
But, okay, let's go.
But I think, you know, our time is ticking away.
Yeah. You know, it's... if you're listening and you haven't received the Lord as your Savior and you haven't come to maybe understand or trust that God's mercy and love and the blood of Jesus washes away your sin, you know, let's just say a prayer right now for those who are listening that, Lord Jesus, at this moment, if there's anyone who does not know you, that you would pour upon them the abundance and the richness of your love and mercy and your forgiveness. And that the power that is found in the cross, that your blood that was shed for us, may wash them and cleanse them and fill their hearts, their minds, and their souls with the light of your resurrection.
Amen. The heart of the good news is what Stephen just said.
Amen.
So, the end of another show. We need to do that more often.
Yeah.
We have our own little altar calls here.
Hey, there we go.
Well, I hope you all have a good evening and be back with us next week for another Gift of Grace radio show. Check out our website and Facebook page, and we'll see you next week.
Have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.